This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of June the 6th, 2016, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television. From north and south of the 49th parallel, I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Diane Wild.
And we would like you to put your television on blah, blah, blah. See, I screwed up already. For episode 206 of TVA, the podcast. Diane, it's like a total technophobe screw-up this week.
Well, it is, but on the other hand, so was the last time we talked, because we didn't even record that one.
That is true.
So if we're recording, we're at least a step above that.
So, yeah, so we apologize that it's been a few weeks. We did attempt to record an episode a few weeks ago, and it did not record. And it's not that my recorder was saying it was recording while I was recording it, but then it didn't. So,
and, I mean, that was our best podcast ever.
Oh my God. You should have heard all the stuff.
I mean, it was just amazing. We revealed all these secrets about Canadian television, but we just can't repeat it now. Because, you know,
we told everybody what to do if you want to save your favorite show from being canceled.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. And then this week, first of all, Greg is still away on vacation. I think he's like skiing in the Dolomites somewhere, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think that's true, but that's okay.
That's okay. So he is away enjoying some, I think he's off in Europe somewhere, on the continent, so to speak.
That makes him sound so sophisticated.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. For all I know, he could be like lying in a gutter in Brussels somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, we tried to call. Our normal way of recording is via Skype, and the connection was so horrible that I'm calling you on your phone.
I know. I think it's the first time that we have done it by phone.
And it's not the greatest sounding, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's better than it was, apparently.
Exactly. So we've got a whole bunch of things to talk to you about, because it's been a while and there have been some major announcements. Before we get there, though, I think it's time for a long, long, long awaited beverage update.
Well, I feel like I failed us this week, because I meant to have my usual rooibos, but I forgot to put the kettle on, so I couldn't make any tea-like substance. So I only have two beverages.
What?
And I was even going to have sort of a theme, because accidentally my rooibos was going to be cranberry cream, and I have a cranberry cider, which is quite tasty. So I had a theme going, but then I also ruined it by having a sparkling water with pineapple flavor. So I don't know that goes with cranberry, really, but that's what I have, sparkling water with pineapple and cranberry cider.
Okay, interesting.
And no hot beverage. It's really hot here, though. I mean, it's too hot for me, so not having a tea is probably not the worst thing in the world.
Right. So I'm trying to find if I can call up my favorite Sam Elliott description of the bourbon that I'm drinking this week, but I don't know if I'm going to have anything so dramatic. Let me see.
I should get you to read my cider bottle.
Knew I could do that. So my bourbon de semaine, the bourbon of the week, is called Jefferson's Reserve Groth Reserve Cask Finish. So basically what happens is they make an old bourbon, a small batch bourbon, and then they take it out of its original barrel and they finish it inside a wine barrel.
Why do they do that?
Just to give it like kind of a new palate to it. So it's a whiskey. It's aged 6 years in regular oak barrels and then 9 months in Napa Valley's Groth Winery Cabernet Sauvignon casks.
Wow, fancy.
So I do have the equivalent. I'm pulling it from a website, and I'm going to give you my Sam Elliott description of the Jefferson's Reserve, Groth Reserve. Actually, there's two reserves in the name, by the way. Jefferson's Reserve, Groth Reserve Cask Finish. Getting ready for this one.
That's a lot of reserves.
It's a lot of reserves. I got a lot of reservations about this one. A burnt caramel hue in the glass. The whiskey appears warm from the get-go, with slight ethanol quickly dissipating on the nose, spice, and a distinct burnt marshmallow scent to follow. Warm caramelized oak and a fresh, almost wood-chippy impression married together the nose. After opening up, the whiskey smells perfumed with a natural sugar essence, reminiscent of palm sugar or dark maple syrup. On the palate, the dram is full-bodied and chewy, fresh whole grain bread and buckwheat-style nuttiness underlying.
Chewy? Your bourbon is chewy?
Buckwheat,
is that a good thing?
Buckwheat-style nuttiness. Buckwheat.
None of that makes any sense. It's like they just put it into a random word generator.
I know. It's like lorem ipsum. All I can tell you is that this week's episode is entitled Buckwheat-Style Nuttiness.
Yes.
That's all you need to know. So there you go. There's our beverage updates. And it's time right now for the calendar.
Where is Greg when I need him? Don't make me do it.
The calendar.
I can't even do it properly. Or something.
I will take that.
That's not even remotely close to it.
Okay.
I don't know what sound I'm imitating. What sound is a calendar doing?
I applaud the effort. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, thank you.
So we'll let you know some of the stuff coming up for the next couple of weeks. First of all, if you're listening to this podcast on the week of June the 6th, you may have on your PVR somewhere the series finale of Some Assembly Required on YTV.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's a locally shot.
Yes.
Series here. It's shot in Burnaby, I believe. Coming to an end.
How many seasons has that been on? Do we know?
I want to say 3 or 4.
That's what I thought too, but yeah.
I can't quite remember. But
right. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Masters of Flip, which I believe is a multi-part biography of Flip Wilson, if I'm not mistaken.
You are mistaken, though I think yours would be a winner.
Hmm.
It is, of course, another home renovation show.
Yes. The Masters...
I didn't say they flip houses.
The Masters of Flip. Although I like my concept of a Flip Wilson show.
John Doyle just posted a column that was something about all these horrible renovation shows, and he names that one in particular.
Oh, my God.
As well as the Love It or List It.
How often have we commented on just how ridiculous some of them are? Jumping all the way to next Tuesday, the 14th, the Baroness Von Sketch Show debuts on CBC. So another attempt at a sketch comedy show in primetime, Diane.
I know. But, you know, I mean, CBC has 22 Minutes, which is sketch-like.
Uh-huh.
It has sketches. This is one that, you know, it's all female, single camera, sketch show. I've heard good things, but then I've heard good things from people who probably know people who work on the show. So,
right.
You know, it's always hard to really know what people think about something.
Well,
and
the question about a sketch show is generally... the endurance, because, you know, they've got their 15 or 20 best sketches that they've been honing for the past 5 years in order to get the sketch show. And then the question is, once they get into the, you know, the second half of the season or season two, and you've got to have, you know, a group together coming up with these new fresh ideas, that's when, and sometimes it's a matter of rehearsal time and all of that stuff. That's when people, you know, sketch shows seem to fail either depending on the length of the season in the second half of the first season or by season two. You start to get stuff where you think to yourself, oh, we've seen that before. And I think it's inevitable that sketch shows end up doing that.
Yeah, and something like, I mean, 22 Minutes it's now in its 537th season, I think. Like, that's a bit of the exception to that. But I think this is a much shorter run. Actually, it's hard for me to Google when I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
But... I think it might be a shorter run. I think it's a summer series for sure. So I think it might be like 6-10 episodes. I'm not sure, but it's definitely not, you know, a 24-episode season. So hopefully it's all fresh material. It's
yeah,
for female.
I think there's six episodes because I'm on the IMDb page now and it says
okay.
So for six episodes, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now who knows? It might be like a Sunnyside where next year we have season one part two.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, it, you know, airing it in the summer suggests that maybe it, you know, could come back for a few different short run seasons. And,
right.
You know, maybe that will help things out a little bit. But yeah, I've heard a lot of anticipation about this one. So I think there's a bit of an appetite out there for, you know, a Canadian comedy that really lands solidly, like you said, sketch comedy. That seems to be what people think of is Canadians are so good at sketch comedy because we have that SCTV background and... You know, I'm not sure that that's been true for several years, but this is another attempt, and hopefully it will succeed.
Right. We have seasons. Also on the 14th, we have the return of Still Standing, which for those of you who remember listening to the show last year, was the show where Johnny Harris from Murdoch Mysteries travels around the country, visiting a place, new place each week, and then basically creating a stand-up act around it.
Yeah, and it's a really it's a surprisingly poignant show. It's funny, it's very funny, but he goes to small towns that are basically facing some sort of crisis necessarily, but you know that they're kind of they remind me of the towns in what's it called? It's called Seducing Dr. Lewis, I think, the original French version, but there's an English version as well. Anyway, tiny town that doesn't have much industry, and so they're struggling to survive. And, you know, he goes to those kinds of towns and finds some really poignant stories as well as the comedy out of that.
Right. So season premiere on Tuesday the 14th. So you can check that out. Also, the next night on the 15th, the season finale of When Calls the Heart. Which just by its name, whenever I hear that name, it sounds like a Canadian novel from the early 1900s.
Well, close. I mean, I don't actually know if it's based on a novel, but it's
so it is based on a novel. It's based on a novel by Jeanette Okey.
Oh, okay, there you go. And it's a 19th century coal mining town. It's actually I don't mind this show. It's very family friendly. I think it's from the Hallmark Channel in the
sure.
States. If you look at the calendar on Sunday, there's a bit of weirdness here in that the season finale is on Wednesday on Super Channel, and then the season two premiere is on CBC on the Sunday.
So it's Hallmark Channel in Hallmark Channel in the U.S. and Super Channel in Canada.
But then also CBC in Canada.
Right. And so this is the end of the third season. The first season they had 12 episodes. Second season they had 7 episodes. They did a special Christmas episode, I guess, which was episode 8 for season 2. And then they've had 8 episodes for season 3.
Yeah. So I think it's season 3 wrapping up on Super Channel. And then CBC has the second run. So on Sunday the 19th, that starts season 2.
Yes.
So and it's a little bit complicated. But most people don't have Super Channel, to tell the truth. That's one of those specialty
right.
channels. And so, you know, CBC is where it gets a lot of viewers as well.
And this is one of those...
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. This is one of those shows where knowing nothing about it, I will follow up my traditional Canadian novel storytelling mantra that at some point there is a forlorn woman whose husband has been cheating on her, and and some wildlife creature, the sounds that it makes at night echoes the despair that her heart is going through.
It's possible. It's more of a heartlandish. Family-friendly show. Not sure, you know, how much the cheating is really shown. I've only seen a bit of the early seasons of it. You know, it's not really my kind of thing, but it is, you know, it's enjoyable.
Not my wheelhouse, that's all I'm saying.
No, I can't imagine you watching this voluntarily.
On the 16th, sorry, 16th, which is Thursday, the season finale of Orphan Black. I've actually kept up on it this season. Like last year, I think I PVR'd everything and I had to, I watched it in one fell swoop. I've actually kept up this season and it's been pretty good. I've enjoyed this season. Kind of last season, I was kind of like, yeah, not so much. And then this season's kind of caught me back in again.
That's good. I've heard that from other people as well, that it went downhill a bit, but that's good. It seems to have gone by quickly. I thought I had lots of time to catch up.
I don't know if there were less episodes or not. Like, because wasn't the traditional season 10 episodes, I thought?
Yeah, I don't remember. They might have had fewer. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention to it.
Yeah. So it,
here's me trying to Google while I have my.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm doing it because I know that you've you're on a different device right now. But apparently, it's 10 episodes again. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. I just didn't keep up with it. I think, I mean, some of that is the natural. You hear less and less about a show the older it gets. So we're hearing everything about Wynonna Earp right now because it's a new series on sci-fi right. and space. With Orphan Black, you know, there's been media about it, but it certainly hasn't had as much attention as it had in its earlier season.
Right. And so, yeah, like I say, I've enjoyed it. And there's definitely been, it's been, they picked it back up again. It seemed like they were getting a little bit esoteric kind of last season in some of the storytelling that was done. And so I've quite enjoyed this season. So there you go. On Father's Day, Sunday, June the 19th, the season finale of MasterChef Canada. Yes. Enough said.
No, I was going to say, we need Ben here to like talk about those shows because neither one of us cares about them.
Yes.
I did post something there down to the last three cooks, and you know, that's about as much as I care about.
Right. And then also on the 19th, that's where you get the season two reruns of When Calls the Heart on CBC. So
that's
we talked about how it's going to reshow
there. If you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
Exactly. And the last date we'll talk about is 2 weeks from today, which is the 20th of June, the return of 19-2 on Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people looking forward to that. A show that still, you know, season after season garners a lot of critical acclaim, that's for sure.
Yeah. Though, I mean, I think this is only its second season in English. It's had more than that. But it's a bit of a, it kind of makes your head spin to see this with Letterkenny. Because Jared Kiso is in both, and they could not be more different.
Right.
And his characters could not be more different.
Well, if you remember, the premiere episode of season two was the school shooting one.
Mm-hmm. And that's
that,
right. So
that, yeah, that garnered tons of critical acclaim. So I don't know whether they're going to, I don't know whether they're holding up the, holding their feet to the fire and trying to echo some of that, or if they're going to ease into it a little bit more. But
yeah, it's hard to say. I know that was a direct. Correlation, like it had a direct correlation in the French series.
Sure.
I don't know how much they're going to deviate.
In fact, we did the interview with one of the creators on the TVABC's podcast, he was talking about like they have the same director in,
they basically
brought the same crew in almost because they reshot almost all of it, almost move for move.
Right. So. And something that's interesting is they've renewed it for a fourth season before the third season has even started, which has to be great news for people involved because it's never been a ratings blockbuster in
right.
English anyway.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's getting another season despite whatever ratings might come this season is really, I don't know, a testament to how Bell Bravo wants this show on their schedule.
All I can say is Bravo, Bravo.
You had to say that, didn't you?
Indeed. And now it's time to close up the calendar. I'll take it.
I'd switch it up a little.
That's okay. Just over the last couple of days, we had, if you've never heard of them before, but you might have seen them flashing up on Twitter if you follow some Canadian television types, it was the Leo Awards. The Leo Awards.
It was. That's in my neck of the woods. So it's for the BC film and television industry. The Fancy Schmancy Awards. And rivaling the Canadian Screen Awards, they have three nights of the Leo Awards. Which seems ridiculous to me, given that there's four nights of the Canadian Screen Awards. I mean, you're talking about one province among the whole country has three nights of awards.
Well, what can you say? Is there anything in particular that you would like to note in terms of some of the award winners?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of TV, so the awards got really spread out among series, which is kind of nice to see. So Motive got the best dramatic series for the second time. And that beat out 19-2, Blackstone Continue in the Romeo section. And, you know, the rules are kind of obscure for how they call something a BC production because 19-2 and Blackstone aren't produced here, but it has to do with where the money comes from or, you know, the residents of the creatives involved and that kind of thing. So don't ask me that, but Jared Kiso did win Best Lead Performance for 19-2. Carmen Moore of Blackstone won the female version of Best Lead Performance by... Wait, that sentence wasn't going to end properly.
Uh-huh.
Jared Kiefer is a man. Carmen Moore is a woman. They both won Best Supporting Performance. Lauren Lee Smith of This Life was Best Supporting Performance by a Female. And Osric Chow was Best Supporting Male for Blood and Water.
Which is interesting because Blood and Water is one of those shows where they shoot part of the series in Vancouver and part of it in Toronto.
Yeah, and I didn't even know they shot it in Vancouver. In Toronto. I thought it was all shot in Vancouver. So I don't know if that was a switch for season two or if that was always the case and I just blanked out on the Toronto part because, I don't know, Vancouver's the center of the world to me, apparently.
No. Don't say that. Don't say that to someone from Hamilton.
I mean, that's my way of mocking Toronto, but that's Greg's not on the line, so it didn't land, you know.
Now they also have awards for non-Canadian shows that happen to shoot.
They do.
Yeah. So I mean, they've got like best visual effects, and they've got an episode of The Flash. Bitten is in there. Helix, Supernatural. So.
And this is where I'm not entirely sure. Well, I guess. I'm not entirely sure. I guess for the series, Best Dramatic Series, it must be something about where the money comes from, because that would exclude the American shows. But in some of the other categories, it must be where the people are from, because they are American series.
Because, like, I'm looking. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, none of the Best Dramatic Series nominees are American shows.
Right.
But there are a lot of nominees. Yeah.
Like, Best Costume Design Dramatic Series, somebody won from Arrow. And I'm guessing it's because she's Canadian, probably.
Yeah, my guess as well.
Yeah, so.
So I do get a little fuzzy on the details of it, but, you know, not terribly important, but it does look like the major awards go to Canadian producers.
Well, considering the scroll bar on these awards goes on for about 18 days.
Well, I posted, it's funny because, I mean, they possibly just are not super aware, but I've never been invited to the Leo Awards. They've never sent me a press release. I have to dig information up from the website, even though, you know, I live in the area and I help run a TV website.
Uh-huh.
But, so I just extracted whatever TV awards I thought were most crucial and put them into a post, because there's just no way. It's a lot of awards. I mean, like, I've had three nights of awards just for the BC industry. It gets a little bit ridiculous. I didn't do my post. There's TV movies that are one of the, you know, have several categories as well. But in some of the categories, there's only two nominees, which to me, you know,
I
start to feel sorry for the person who didn't win. But it also just seems like maybe you don't get an award if there's only two nominees. TV movies aren't as big a deal as they were several years ago.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of the TV movies, in fact. So to me, that's kind of a sign that maybe they didn't get a lot of play.
Right. Well, congratulations to all the winners.
And it was an honor just to be nominated.
Indeed. There you go. We are fully convinced of that. we do have a major shakeup happen. Now, Diane, can I tell you where I was on Friday?
Where were you on Friday?
I was on a panel.
You are going to remember this for the rest of your life because of the Canadian TV news, aren't you?
I was on a panel talking about podcasting.
I knew this.
Yes, I was on a panel talking about podcasting at the RTDNA conference, which is the Radio Television Digital News Association. And so...
And you were like the only pure podcaster there, weren't you?
Pretty much. You know who was also there? Jeremy Taggart was there as well, from Taggart and Torrens.
Oh, right.
I was sitting beside him. And so we kind of shared a similar opinion on our love of podcasting. But it was very interesting. Like, I mean, if you want to hear the panel I was on, by the way, if you go to lovehatethings.com, which is my personal podcast, I actually posted the entire panel because I recorded it. I emailed them earlier.
You podcasted the podcast.
Yeah. I emailed them earlier in the week and I said, is anyone recording this? And does anyone mind if I put it up online? And no one objected. So I did, because that's how I roll. But at one point the question came up. It's like, you know, why should news directors care about podcasts? And like, they went through a couple people before me and I wasn't going to get the same question. And I said, I just want to back up to the question you asked, why should news directors care about podcasting? And I said, they shouldn't. Stay out of it.
Ouch.
So, yeah, I was definitely, I would say I was definitely the outlier. However, I got a couple good laughs. So, there you go. So that being, and the reason I mention that is because almost like tons of like any Toronto-centric and even all Canada-centric news people were there. Like you would have recognized so many names from nightly news shows and morning shows and all that different stuff. So it was quite a celebrity-filled event.
Well, that's why I kind of said that you were one of the only pure podcasters, because the names that I saw were all people who were like CBC radio personalities.
Yes.
And CBC turns their shows into podcasts, which, you know, I have different feelings from you, I think, on that. Whereas I think there's a great value to that, and I don't have no problem with them calling it a podcast. I don't have problems with monetizing podcasts, but I do think there's a very big difference between just I'm creating a podcast versus I'm a radio show that wants my show to be available in other scenes as well.
Oh yeah, I've got no problem with them turning their radio shows into podcasts, to be honest with you. Like I've got no problem with the only issue that I
there is a big difference.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the issue I always object to, is that by and it's not their fault. I don't blame the CBC for this, but because of the popularity of those CBC podcasts, when people start listening to podcasts, they've essentially homogenized the concept of what podcasting should be to people, because they're used to listening. Oh, like this is a podcast. And it's like, no, that's a radio show. It's being delivered in podcast form, but you're listening to a radio show. Whereas a podcast is more like what we're doing here. You know, it's a little bit more loose, a little bit more informal. And if we want to say fuck, we say it.
But you rarely say that on this podcast.
I know. I try to be good, but sometimes you have to make a point. It was scandalous, I say, that CTV basically up and canceled their longstanding morning show, which is a show
Canada AM,
which I never watched, because first of all, when I'm up in the morning, I'm not spending any time watching TV. I'm sleeping as long as I can, and then it's like sleep, shower, dress, out the door. That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, plus I don't have over-the-air TV, so I've seen it. I mean, it was on for 40-something years, 43 yeah. years, I think it was. So I've seen it in that time. But yeah, it's funny because I got a lot of comments on social media. So Thursday, the news came out that they were canceling it on Friday. And a lot of people reacted to that as, I think, justifiably, that was quite rude. You know, some fans have been watching this show for years and years. It's part of their morning ritual, and they get one day's notice that it's going away. And a network that values its show will often give it a good send-off, and this did not get a good send-off.
Well,
and people kind of pushed back and said, well, it's been on 43 years, time to shake it up. And, you know, some people use the it's not truly a national show, which isn't exactly true, because it was on CTV's news network, but it did, like, Western Canada created its own CTV morning show, because CTV AM became very Toronto-centric. But regardless of all that, one day's notice for a show that has been on the air for 43 years, I mean,
it's better than CHCH, which said, we're going to have an announcement at 4 o'clock this afternoon, proceeded to go to a taped announcement saying they were canceling all news programs and laying everybody off, and then spent the next 3 hours showing repeats of some show while everybody scrambled to find out if they had a job.
Well, yes, but that seems like it came from a different motivation.
Yeah,
seems like you've had disastrous finances or something. Whereas this is, they had to have known a long time in advance that they were going to be canceling the show, because today... So they had a weekend between today. They announced what the new morning show is going to be.
Right.
And it's not going to be they don't start it, I think, until the summer. I'm trying to see where it says.
Well, and it looks like they're essentially doing like a cross between like the Today Show and like Kathy Lee and whoever else. Like, I mean, it's.
Yeah. And say who the hosts are, because we haven't said the best part, which is who the hosts are.
It's Ben Mulrooney.
E-talk
anchor Ben Mulrooney, surrounded by a bevy of attractive women, and I'm not saying that to be condescending in any way, because I'm sure they are all incredibly skilled, probably most even more than Ben Mulrooney.
Well, and Anne-Marie, I can't pronounce the last name,
Medawake.
I don't expect Medwick. Okay, yes. I was going to say, I don't think she's next to the West here, but she is a co-host, so she's on equal footing as Ben Mulroney. There's another bevy of people who are sort of in supporting roles here. But, okay, my favorite part is John Doyle did it must have been a hurried online-only thing because he already had a column in the paper today, but it was sort of how much Ben Mulroney is too much. And basically the answer to that on Twitter seems to be, we're there. We're at peak Ben Mulroney.
Yes.
No more Ben Mulroney, please.
To be fair, 20 years ago, we were at peak Ralph Ben Mergie.
You know, I feel like Ralph Ben Mergie never quite took off, though. I felt like CBC kept trying to make him happen.
And yet that was still and yet that was still peak Ralph Ben Mergie.
And I mean, CTV must have all kinds of metrics about Ben Mulroney's appeal. Like, they're obviously going for a younger audience. They're obviously trying to shake things up, and they didn't just want to refresh Canada AM. They wanted to, you know, move away from that brand and move towards another brand. It really is kind of a one-to-one replacement. It's still not going national other than on the CTV news network. You know, Western Canada still has its own CTV morning show. But, yeah, you know, I have no objection to them shaking it up. I have many objections to Ben Mulroney as host of another show.
The only thing I object to is, like, the lineup that they've chosen looks like something that they put on Fox News.
Yeah,
It's 20 and 30-something women, and that's fine. But, like, let's put the guy on there. And, you know, it's like we're going to take current events and we're just going to toss them around the panel for fun. And I hope that's not what it is. Like, if it's going to be like, if there's going to be some, you know, good hard hitting stuff, but you know, that's
well,
not going to happen.
Okay. Somebody from The Social is acting as the show's moderator.
Yeah.
So let's not have high expectations of.
And that's what I'm
saying.
I mean,
morning shows don't really.
It's going to be these 4-minute interviews with, like, celebrities who are in town. And it's like, oh, let's talk to so-and-so who's, you know what, they're lining up. They're lining the show to get it to, so they may start it earlier than that, but this show is being lined up so they can take full advantage of the Toronto International Film Festival come on Labor Day.
Yeah. Oh, and they have announced a time that it was launching. I can't find it. I thought it was in July that they were launching.
Yeah, but I mean, that will all be a lead up to being able to see if they can scoop George Clooney or Brad Pitt off the red carpet.
Well, and you know that it's going to be like Ben Mulroney is going to do double duty with E-Talk. So, I mean, he gets these interviews anyway.
Right.
Just slice them and dice them in a different way for each show. I mean, this doesn't excite me, but I was never the market for it because I never did watch morning news shows. They kind of make me want to stab my eyeballs out.
Yeah, this isn't news.
No, it's not. No.
It ain't news.
we can agree on that.
Yes. That was, although the news of the shift was actually big news. Over the past week and a half ago or so, CBC announced its 2016-17 season. And remember we used to get them all bunched. Remember back in the old days of the podcast, Diane, where it seemed like once every week we'd have like, hey, new network announces its lineup, and we'd be able to talk a full episode about it.
Yeah, it's true. It was spaced out more, but also we did the podcast weekly at one point. We went to twice a week.
Yes.
You know, in the last year or so. But yes, you're right. And we have already had, so CBC, who else? I think Chorus Global. Like, they've all had their upfronts. I think there's another one coming tomorrow. But the problem is the other major networks don't have many Canadian series. And when they do, like, we'll talk a bit later, some of them have announced Canadian series that they've greenlit.
Right.
But they might not have an air date, for example. They might not be on the fall schedule yet. But yeah, you're right. We used to be able to talk about it network by network. And now, really, the major networks maybe have, you know, one or two Canadian series on in the fall, if that. CBC is the one that has, of course, most of them. For me, I mean... Some of the most interesting news about the CBC announcement was what wasn't on it. So they had previously announced that there were shows called When Was Caught, that was going to star Alan Hocko, who was also producing it. It's based on a Lisa Moore book. And then The Council, which was a Renee Belfer, I think is his last name. He was with Law & Order SVU. So those were both announced for this coming season, and then they weren't on this announcement. And so the reason behind that is production delays.
Right.
Cots apparently have a financing issue. And CBC says it's still going forward, but they can't say when it might air. But the council, it's supposed to shoot in Iqaluit. Is that how you pronounce it?
Iqaluit. Iqaluit.
Iqaluit. And so the logistics of that got to them. The shooting time frame is too short. They didn't have enough time to sort of get what they wanted to get done there. So that one they've pushed back to, I think it's fall 2017. But what CBC did announce was, of course, they're the ones who have the most Canadian series. So there's some interesting stuff on here. Yeah. A lot of it we knew before.
So there's a new primetime crime thriller called Shoot the Messenger, focused on the complicated relationships between crime reporters and the police. So Shoot the Messenger.
So that one was previously announced, and I think Sud Sutherland is involved, and he's done a lot of quality Canadian TV.
They've got a dramatic mini-series called Pure about Mennonites drug trafficking.
Yeah, this one, I kind of cracked up hearing what it was about. This one was not announced before, so this was new, and I think possibly something that they kind of decided to put on the schedule earlier than planned because of the other two shows not being on it. But yeah, it's apparently based on true stories.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously fictionalized, but...
Well, if I'm not...
Mennonite mob.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. Like, there's the reality show on, what is it, the History Channel in the States? Or something like that? About, like, the Mennonite Mafia or something like that?
And I had no idea.
Yeah,
there is. Amish Mafia?
Amish Mafia. Okay, mm-hmm. So yeah, okay.
Itself.
Same basic idea. So this is interesting. A CBC scripted comedy called Kim's Convenience. The funny heartfelt story of a Korean Canadian family running a convenience store in Toronto.
And I love this play. And we've known about this one for a little while now. This is the first time we've seen when it's going to be scheduled, but, I'm excited about this. I hope they do it justice. And the same people are involved in the series as involved in the play behind the scenes, at least. So, you know, hopefully they won't turn it into something unrecognizable. Right. But it's, you know, it's funny. It's touching. I'm looking forward to this one.
A comedy by Catherine Reitman, that's a daughter of Ivan, called Working Moms, is getting a 13-episode order. Test the modern ideal that women can really have it all. Don't you love a tagline like that?
Never heard that before.
Yes, exactly. You
know, that's pretty much every female-centered comedy.
Catherine Reitman, I actually watched, she had a web series a few years ago, which was like a movie review web series, and it was actually pretty good, and I remember watching that a few years ago. And then I think she did, I don't know whether this is the same, this could be a co-pro. I'm not 100% sure. She might have done this, I seem to have heard this somewhere else, so I don't know if it's strictly just CBC or not. I know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm starting.
I didn't think it was a copo, but
yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to do a desperate search online here as we're talking about it. Yeah, I don't know if I can find it right now, but regardless, actually, you know what? Here's how I can find it. I know this is all exciting for you who are sitting back and
listening to us Google.
No, CBC. So it looks like CBC actually greenlit it. I don't know whether they ended up getting somewhere else, a U.S. network to also show it, but that's quite possible as well.
So. Yeah, I don't think I've heard that, but
okay.
It's hard to say. Is some of these announcements, not particularly this one or ones I've heard of before, but I mean from CBC, but sometimes networks hide the fact that a new series is actually based on, say, a web series.
Right.
So that's happened with some of the ones that we'll talk about coming up. But, I mean, I think in some cases, like with Letterkenny, Comedy and Crave or whoever, kind of made a big deal about the fact that it was a respected, you know, well-regarded web series, whereas there's some that they just don't say that. So I don't know. I don't think this is one of those. But
Also, the return of Diane's favorite show of all time.
Yay! I wouldn't say favorite of all time.
I think Diane was solely responsible for the return of Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays. They're doing 6 more episodes.
I'll take that credit.
6 more episodes coming back in the... I forget. I don't know whether it's going to be in the fall or after New Year or not.
I think it's after New Year. If you scroll down, there's what's on in the fall, and I believe Michael Tuesdays and Thursdays is winter. I'm excited about that one, of course. And I know that Ed Asner must be back, because I've seen some of the, you know, the people behind the scenes Instagramming Ed Asner over there.
They've got a new factual series called This is High School, 6 episodes of that, and unprecedented, unfiltered access to real life at a British Columbia high school. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And a docu-series called True North Calling, a strange 7-episode order, which follows a group of young Canadians as they carve out their lives at the edge of the Arctic. And then they have a whole bunch of digital programming as well, which we don't necessarily have to go into all of them. But they started that over the past couple of years, and so they've got original podcasts that they've started up now, audio podcasts. They started up web series last year as well. We talked with a couple of creators of web series, so and maybe we're going to see some season twos of those as well.
And I think you know that This Is That is one of the new digital series, and that is based on their podcast,
right?
Or radio show, whatever you like to call it. So they're doing it. I guess a video version of that.
A couple new kids series, including Dot, and a photography competition series called Snapshots. And then they've got a whole bunch of returning stuff that you would expect. So Canada's Smartest Person, Crash Gallery.
Most of their stuff from last season actually did come back.
Yeah.
Not String Empire, but pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything else, including Murdoch Mysteries. And the Rick Mercer Report, season 14.
This hour has 22 minutes. Season 24. I was only slightly exaggerating.
Yeah. How about the Halifax Comedy Festival season 21?
That seems like cheating though, because I think that's it's basically a special.
No, they basically take the festival and break it up into a series of shows. So.
Yeah, it seems like cheating though, calling that a series.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Just for Laughs is a series, then I guess that's a series.
exactly. I would call that a series.
And also the return of David Suzuki's The Nature of Things for season 56.
Isn't that crazy? Marketplace season 44.
Yeah. So there you go. So you can check that out if you go to the TVA website and go back about a week and a half, or look for CBC 2016-17 season. I'm sure you'll find it there. Speaking of a new show, though, Private Eyes, which we talked about a couple episodes ago, did pretty well in its first couple episodes, Diane.
Yeah, it launched really well. So this is the Jason Priestley
Hockey
Detective series.
Yes,
Hockey Detective. Jason Priestley Hockey Detective. Yeah, that's the better title for it, obviously. But it's only had 2 episodes airing so far. And so Global is saying it's an average of 1.4 million viewers. I heard, so that's probably including 7 Day with or something. I heard they premiered at 1.1, so it seems unlikely that it jumped that much in average, unless they're talking about including DVR playback.
Right.
But that's great numbers for it. So that's really actually quite astounding to me.
Sure. And so that's not bad. And I don't know what their lead-in is. I haven't seen whether they got a nice matchup for their lead-in or not, but I mean, if they can maintain 1.4 million or 1.3 million or whatever the heck it is, that's not bad.
Yeah, and that's Thursdays at 9, which is, there's a lot of eyeballs on TVs that time, but it is summer. So, that's really good numbers.
Good for them. And now, and just to kind of wrap up the show, we got a bunch of new shows that kind of have been announced. Not necessarily full schedules and stuff like that, but new shows. So Viceland, which is the partner that Vice has with Rogers. So Rogers, if you remember, invested a ton of money into Vice about a year ago. And Viceland, which is kind of its little mini network now, has 6 new all-Canadian produced series.
The only one I particularly care about is the scripted one, which is Nirvana, the band, the show. And this is one of the ones I was mentioning. It was a web series, and nowhere in the announcement does it mention that it was a web series. So it's kind of a strange little announcement. But
And then pretty much the rest of them are kind of quirky. There's one called Cyber War, which is a doc series about hacking and government surveillance. There's one about legendary skateboarder Rick McCrank embarks on a journey exploring abandoned landmarks and architectural remains. Legendary skateboarder. And so, I mean, a whole bunch of basically documentary series, which is kind of what Vice does anyway. So
yeah, but they all have sort of a spin on them, and they sound interesting enough, but it's all about the execution. None of them sound like anything that I would particularly watch, but they sound like, yeah, you know, they could be quite interesting.
City TV has greenlit two new series, one called Second Gen, with Gen being J-E-N.
And that one's digital first, so that's going to go on the website before it ever airs.
And the other one is called Bad Blood, the Vito Rizzuto Story. Hey!
That's a limited event drama.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Hey, well, let me do the read on it. Inspired by reputed mobster Vito Rizzuto and based on the best-selling book Business or Blood, Mafia Boss Vito Rizzuto's Last War by Antonio Nicasio and Peter Edwards, Bad Blood, the Vito Rizzuto Story is a 6-part, 60-minute scripted limited event series debuting on City and FX in 2017.
That was beautiful. And I should say, too, City is going to be airing the Vice show, too, the Nirvana, the band, the show. They'll be airing that as well. But the whole limited run thing, that reminds me, CTV announced a series called The Disappeared, or The Disappearance?
Yeah.
Disappearance. And that's a limited run series, so I think it's 6 episodes. And they were calling it the second ever serialized show on the network, saying that Cardinal, which just finished shooting, was the first ever serialized show on the network. And so I posted their media release, like we do, and got a lot of comments on Twitter saying, what? And so people are like, what about this show? What about this show? What about this show? And it kind of went back to apparently Star Lost in 1973 was probably the first serialized show.
Star Lost, wow.
I know, going back that
I'm so
far.
Proud.
So I asked my friends at Bell Media PR, you know, what they were talking about with this thing. And so they came back to me after the day and said, oh, we forgot to put Limited Run in there. So it's the first ever Limited Run serialized show on CTV. So, of course, I had to go back to them and say, but what about Would Be King, which was a 2-part series on CTV that was also serialized? And they are like, oh, we're not counting any miniseries in our definition of Limited Run series. So I'm like, okay, that's way too many caveats for me. I'm taking that line out.
Yes.
But Limited Run, miniseries, limited event drama. Like, I don't know. Why don't you just call it a TV thing?
So, wow. Global is partnered with CBS on suspense drama Ransom. 13-episode original suspense drama. CBS US is joining as the broadcasting partner. And it is a Canada-France treaty co-production from E1, Big Light Productions, and Sienna Films and Wildcats Productions, filming both in Europe and in Canada. Doesn't this sound a bit to you, just a little bit
Flashpoint?
To you? Huh?
Sorry, I said Flashpoint, but go ahead.
Not Flashpoint. I'm thinking of the shot in, like, Canada, France. Does it sound like The Transporter?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Subject is different, though, right?
I know. But like hostage negotiator whose team is brought in to save lives when no one else can, and there's kidnapping and ransom case. Because The Transporter,
yeah,
like half the episodes, I think, were about people getting like kidnapped and thrown into a trunk somewhere. So,
yeah, this feels very much like a co-production. Like it feels like the kind of, I mean, no offense to anyone involved, but it feels like the by-the-books co-production that,
right,
oh, this should appeal to the summer crowd in the States that can sit on a CBS schedule in the summer. Like, you know, I hate to be cynical, but that's what this sounds like to me.
Right. Interesting.
It has, I mean, Frank Spotnitz is behind it. He was, you know, X-Files guy.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be interesting. And look, put it this way. If a series is going to shoot in France or in parts of Europe, I mean, you've got such a great backdrop to work with, especially if you've got like some nice outdoor chase scenes and stuff like that. So let's use up that budget is all I'm saying.
Yeah, why not?
The Comedy Network has announced a new satirical series called The Beaverton, which is based on the website The Beaverton, which is basically Canada's version of The Onion. And if you didn't see the story a couple of weeks ago when Elbowgate was happening, the Hamilton Spectator actually ran with a story from the Beaverton.
Not knowing it was satire?
Not knowing it was satire. So there was a Beaverton story which said that the day after Elbowgate, the NDP all came to Parliament wearing neck braces. And the Spectator...
And they ran that as a serious
The Spectator story. Had it up on their website for 5 hours before someone said,
no.
Yeah, so...
That's embarrassing.
You think?
I don't like to see that. I actually think this is a genius idea. I mean, it seems like, you know, it's existing
this,
material.
This could be the
they're
Daily
partnering.
Show. Yeah, this could be the Daily Show thing we've been waiting for in Canada.
Exactly. I mean, they're partnering with a known brand. It just seems the Comedy Network, like it's perfect fit of the Beaverton to network. Mm-hmm. I think this could be really good, actually. I'm kind of looking forward to it with, you know, some trepidation.
I hope so. Don't get me wrong. They're like The Onion. I mean, some of their articles are hit and miss,
for sure.
At least the concepts are funny. And like, if they can do a cross between The Daily Show and some of the stuff, if they even did like a longer form piece, like where they actually got a little bit serious after some of the satire, it's kind of like what John Oliver does. Like that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. That's where I don't want to get my hopes too far, because I'm not sure they're promising that. I do have to say, like, the media release, I thought they did a good job of making the media release pretty funny.
Right.
They had quotes, of course, which I took out from all the different participants that weren't particularly funny that were possibly trying to be. But, you know, the first line is, at last, news on television. The Comedy Network announced today the incredibly important new television program, The Beaverton, an incredibly important satirical news series of deep importance to citizens living in the country with the most water in the world.
It's incredibly important.
So, you know, they're trying to give you a taste of what, you know, the show will be like. So I appreciate the effort.
And I do have as my last link here, but you already mentioned it, the Disappearance, which will be shot in Montreal. Six-part series. And they're actually announcing a few of these now, produced in 4K. We're shooting these things.
Well, Bell actually, I didn't post it, but Bell actually sent out and majorly saying that all of their productions now are going to be in 4K. So,
well, considering, why am I totally blanking on it now? What was the Amanda Tapping series? Sanctuary?
Considering Sanctuary
was shot in 4K
eight years ago.
Yeah. I think we've passed that threshold where it's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's partly why I didn't post the release, partly because they sent out, like, they sent everything out as separate releases,
right,
trying to sort of, I think, distract from the fact that they're, don't have that much Canadian content. But The Disappearance to me sounds quite interesting.
Yes.
I have hopes for that as well, other than the fact that, no, it is not the whatever second ever serialized show. I feel like they're going to do what they tried to do, well, they did successfully do with one of their sitcoms. I can't remember which one it was, but they pitched it to media as how cool it was that it was a multicam show. And my take on that is, who cares? Like, the audience kind of cares whether it's funny or not, not whether it's multicam versus single cam.
Right.
But almost every outlet picked up that angle. And so I think that they were laying the groundwork to do that with their drama series, that they were going to pitch it out as the first ever serialized. And I think the people who caught that mistake have ruined that for them.
First ever show named The Disappeared.
Exactly. Not even that.
Yeah. Anyway, that wraps up all of our links for this week, Diane.
It does.
We had a lot of them.
A lot, though. That
we
was,
had a lot
yeah.
of them. And you know what?
I'm exhausted.
I know. And I will say this much. We have an episode title that is now in my top three of favorite episode titles of the year. So,
and now I can't quite remember what it is. Something about Buckwheat.
I'll just remind you, this week's episode flavor will be entitled Buckwheat Style Nuttiness.
There you go.
Yes.
Buckwheat Style Nuttiness.
However, my other two favorites of the year are Soft Woodiness and Sweet Honeysuckle Flair. That was good as well. But yet, my favorite so far this year still remains Hardwood and Wicked Beaver. That's all I'm saying.
I knew that was going to be your favorite.
Yes.
I knew it.
Diane, why don't you tell people where they can find you, and not Greg for the next week when you're not here recording the podcast.
I think he's back Wednesday, but he might need some recuperation time. So I'm at TVA, the website, which is at www.tv-eh.com, which is on Twitter at TV_EH, and I'm on Twitter at DEEKAYW. And where can you be found, Mr. Anthony?
You can find all the podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com. Find me on Twitter at Anthony Marco. And pretty soon, I know that some of you have been missing the TV ABC's podcast where we kind of do the longer form interviews. To be honest with you, it's generally something that Greg, who has years and years of experience in setting up such things, helps out with, and he deserves a couple of weeks off, to be honest with you. So,
and I suggest names and they don't get done, so I've given up.
So we will try and get a couple of those done for you over the next couple of weeks. So we'll see how that goes, and just keep your eye out. The feed is still there. We are still pumping through the podcast, and we're just hoping you enjoy it. That's all. That's all we're doing.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters.
Yes, thank you to our Patreon supporters at patreon.com/TV_EH. You can always listen to the podcast for free, but if you'd like to contribute even something as low as a buck or even less than that, feel free. And we are happy to have it for the air conditioning this summer, which will probably be hot due to climate change and global warming. Just say.
We're all going to die.
Exactly. Anyway, that wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.